Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 21. In this chapter, we have the inspired record of the reigns of Manasseh and Amon, both evil kings of Judah. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 18. 2 Kings chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal, and made a wooden image, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them." But they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants, the prophets, saying, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and the sin that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 21, with some background notes. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we saw that God graciously raised King Hezekiah up from his deathbed and gave him 15 more years to live in answer to Hezekiah's prayer. Notice, by the way, from verse 7 of chapter 20, that the prophet Isaiah, who brought the good news to Hezekiah, also said to take a cake of figs and place it on Hezekiah's boil. Now, exactly what effect this remedy had on the boil and how it worked in the healing process, we can't say for sure. But the point is that God is not opposed to using a medical approach to sickness, even when you're praying and depending on the Lord for healing. We learn from the end of chapter 20 that the 15 more years of life that God gave King Hezekiah were not all used by Hezekiah for the glory of God. In fact, Hezekiah foolishly showed off all the temple treasures to a delegation of officials from Babylon. As a result, Hezekiah had to be sternly rebuked by the Lord and told that the Babylonians would return and take these temple treasures to Babylon along with captives. Indeed, all of this came true when the Babylonians captured and conquered Jerusalem and eventually destroyed the temple in 586 BC. Another significant event took place in the 15 years of extra life that were granted to King Hezekiah. Since wicked King Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, began his reign when he was 12 years old, as we see here in verse 1 of chapter 21, one way of calculation means that Manasseh was born during Hezekiah's last 15 years. Maybe Hezekiah should not have twisted the Lord's arm and asked for longer life. Maybe it would have been better if Hezekiah had died and gone home to heaven at the time God originally intended. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Kings chapter 21. Doctrinal point number one, godliness is not genetic. Godliness is not genetic. Question, what king of Judah had the longest reign? Answer, Manasseh, 55 years. Manasseh had the longest reign of any king of either Judah or Israel. Second question, what king was the most wicked of all the kings of Judah? Answer, again, Manasseh. Look again at verse 2. And Manasseh did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And verse 9. But they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And verse 11. Manasseh acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him. The Amorites were Canaanites, and we know how idolatrous and immoral the Canaanite nations were. Both from the biblical record and extra-biblical sources, including archaeological finds, which all support the biblical record. But I thought that Manasseh was the son of good King Hezekiah. He was. Well, how could such a godly father produce such an ungodly son? Answer, godliness is not genetic. In verses 3 through 7, we have a listing of the terrible sins of King Manasseh. His wicked idolatry is compared with that of former King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel. In verses 4 and 5, we see that he brought idolatrous altars right into the courts of the temple of the Lord. In verse 6, we see that he practiced child sacrifice. What a horrible sin. Also in verse 6, we see that Manasseh was involved in witchcraft and divination and the occult, practices that were directly and explicitly forbidden in the law. In verse 16 here in 2 Kings chapter 21, we read that Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Reliable Jewish tradition says that it was Manasseh who killed Isaiah by sawing his body in half. We also see in verse 16 of 2 Kings 21 that Manasseh made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh not only did great wickedness himself, but he led the whole nation of Judah into further evil in the sight of the Lord. This especially makes God angry when national leaders desensitize their people to sin and lead them to do evil. In verses 12 and 13, there is a very descriptive prediction from the Lord concerning the coming captivity of Judah and the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. The calamity would be such that ears would tingle, verse 12. That is, it would be shocking news to all who heard. The same plumb line standard that God used to prove Samaria's overwhelming guilt would be used against Jerusalem, verse 13. And as a dish is turned upside down and wiped clean, so God would do with Jerusalem, verse 13. And notice in verse 11 how Manasseh is held responsible for the coming judgment, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations. Manasseh, the son of good King Hezekiah. Godliness is not genetic. Doctrinal point number two. Ungodliness is natural. Ungodliness is natural. Verses 19 through 26. 2 Kings chapter 21, beginning now at verse 19. Ammon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Haruz of Jokbah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servants of Ammon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. Then the people of the land made his son, Josiah, king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah. Then Josiah's son reigned in his place. We see in these verses that King Ammon, a son of Manasseh, followed in all the evil ways of his father for the 2 years before he was assassinated. Godliness is not genetic, but ungodliness is. That is, the Bible teaches that the sinful nature, which we all possess, is passed on naturally from parents to children. As a result, we not only are sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners by nature. You never have to tell a child to go out and sin for a change, for example. It's always the other way around. Won't you be good for a change? And you know the same is true of adults. Only when we turn to the Lord is the natural tendency to do evil stopped. King Ammon never turned to the Lord, so it was just natural for him to follow in the evil ways of his father, because ungodliness is natural. And the same is true today. In the secular world, of course, the evil of mankind is checked and restrained in a number of ways. But only God can reverse the natural trend and tendency toward evil. True godliness is only attained through conversion, because ungodliness is natural. Now, what about practical application? Set up godly patterns. Set up godly patterns. We learn in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 that toward the end of his life, Manasseh repented of his evil ways, and God graciously brought him back from captivity to continue his reign as king in Jerusalem. And he brought reform to the nation to some degree, but it was too little too late. And it was not enough to keep his son Ammon from the evil ways that he had already learned from his father. Manasseh should have set up godly patterns in his household before his old age, and so should we. Because ungodliness is natural, we need to set up godly patterns in our own lives and in our family lives to keep us from forsaking the Lord. We don't drift into godliness, but into ungodliness. So we need to set up godly patterns, like daily quiet times with the Lord, and regular family devotions, and regular Sunday school and church going. It's a must, because ungodliness is natural. So let's be dedicated and determined and set up godly patterns.